Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday, looking forward to the third video concerning walking in humility or repentance. Remember, we talked about that, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Well, do you humble yourself first and repent, or is there a repentance and then humility? They work hand in hand. And so just to go back to the purpose of these videos, always want to keep before you what you're supposed to be allowing to happen or expecting to happen. Number one, that we might develop a more real and tangible relationship with God. And you've heard me say it, but I like saying it over and over again, that you'll allow God to come out of the pages of your Bible and actually live in your life, where you'll begin to experience Him. Number two, the faith that's generated from the reality of God within your soul, the reality of the Word of God, is what actually produces results. And number three, being able to share those results or testimonies with others. Now let's go immediately to our scripture that we always bring before everyone, and that is Matthew 11, 27 to 30, which is an invitation from Jesus to have this type of relationship. And He speaks and says, "Now Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say." This is a unique father and son operation coming out of father and son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the son the way the father does, nor the father the way the son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Now we've shared to you from the book of James chapter 4, how that James reminds us that when your heart is humble, God gives you grace. And when you're in pride, God resists the proud. Now, my point of bringing this up is, as people would say, well, why do you actually embellish the word or talk so much or bring up the word repent so much? Well, that is the marker of an ongoing progressive relationship with God, that you're repenting. Now, repenting, I'm not saying you're on the floor all the time crying your eyes out to God. Repentance means to change your mind and change your direction. The more you see what is accurate and right in God, the more you will see what is incorrect and not right in the world and in the flesh. And it'll cause you and give you opportunity to make changes in your life or adjustments to the way that you see things. That's called repentance. So repentance is a very, very good thing that accompanies your progress as you begin to enjoy the presence of the Lord. So, and obviously what comes with the repentance or that humility, and that is the grace of God. We saw with Moses how that God said with most prophets, He said, well, actually with all prophets, He said, I'll speak to them in a dream. I'll speak to them in a vision. He said, but with my servant Moses, because he is so humble, He said, I talked to him face to face. Now think about that. That's a man under the old covenant. And here we are, the sons of God, not just a servant under the old covenant. How much more should our relationship take on the tangibility of an experience with God as we continue to keep our heart open and our mind open to the very correction and the direction? Both of them are very positive in one sense, because when you see correction, that leads you to the right direction. And that direction in God will bring you into a more tangible relationship. Remember, what we're endeavoring to move out of is having all kinds of knowledge without the experience of the person. We've said this before, that when you increase your knowledge but you have no experience, you will corrupt your relationship with God. In other words, you'll become deceived. You'll be able to argue with the best of them and use many scriptures, but if you're not able to use those and experience those, I've said this before as well, we can preach Jesus, we just don't live Jesus as well as we preach Him. Well, we're wanting to experience Him and live Him and enjoy Him and actually have the kind of tangibility that the world would actually sit back and say, this is amazing, the testimonies that are in your life. I'd like to know God like that. Instead of Bringing people to a building, a church building, or to a meeting where you got all kinds of people sitting there with their arms crossed, almost in defiance, because they have no joy in their life. And the joy comes from the person of Christ. Amen. Well, let's look over here in Hebrews chapter 4, 14 to 16, talking about Jesus and seeing the humility in his life and how he began to actually prosper and be blessed and move forward in the grace of God continually throughout his whole entire life. In verse 14, it says, "Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through the weakness and the testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help." Well, this is a great passage of scripture that helps you to see that Jesus, he was tempted at all points as we are, yet without sin. He went through the weakness. He went through the difficulty, and he went through that difficulty in humility because he didn't have to go through that. Folks, I want to share with you that everything about your life, if you'll take the right perspective, God's grace will begin to lead you, guide you, empower you, and give you ability to go beyond whatever crisis or situation that you're in. This is not about glorifying God because we're actually going through hell and high water and we never get out. The world may present all kinds of interesting obstacles, but with the grace of God, you actually get out. You go forward. You move forward. You experience God. And everything about the wonderful book that we have called the Bible shows us when people were experiencing God, they were overcoming. They were victorious. They were moving forward. And that's the life, of course, that you and I desire to walk in. 2 Corinthians 13, 4 to 9, it says, "He," meaning Jesus, "was sheer weakness and humiliation when he was killed on the cross. But oh, he's alive now in the mighty power of God." Isn't that interesting that humility moves you into the power of God? And it goes on to say, "We weren't much to look at either when we were humiliated among you, but when we deal with you the next time, we'll be alive in Christ, strengthened by God." And then he says something that I think is so wonderful, because if you've ever had a problem with your car, right now I've got someone in the house that's working on our fireplace. You see, you do a diagnostic, you find out what's wrong, and then you begin to make the adjustments. Well, the same is necessary to the heart of man. And if man would look at himself that way, he would find himself being able to repent or change the way he sees things, change his direction, and begin to experience more of God. It goes on to say, "Test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith." Well, what would solid in the faith mean? Well, that would certainly seem to indicate there's a relationship with God. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourself regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Well, that's a tremendous statement, and it fits so well with Adventures in Grace and all that we're doing on this program. For you to know that you need firsthand evidence that Jesus Christ is in you. What's the good of just letting him be a bystander for your entire life, get to heaven and find out that everything Jesus was alive and ready to do within your own soul and within your heart, you never experienced because you didn't give yourself checkups regularly. Now, you know that giving yourself checkups is something that people do so often in the world concerning the medical profession. You'll make sure you don't miss your checkups with your doctor, but we, sadly, miss and sometimes have never even had a checkup with our own selves and our relationship with God. It goes on to say, test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. Notice he's not condemning you if you fail the test. If you find yourself, as you just open your heart up to God, if you find yourself realizing that there's some correction that needs to be done, then just make the correction. Don't wallow in pity and don't allow yourself to be down and condemned. Jesus isn't condemning you. Look what it says. If you fail the test, do something about it. I hope the test won't show that we've failed, but if it comes to that, we'd rather the test show our failure than yours. We're rooting for the truth to win out in you. We couldn't possibly do otherwise. Now, this is so wonderful, and I love the Apostle Paul sharing these things because he was a man that was on the top of his game as the Pharisee of Pharisees. And when he saw what Jesus did for him and he had an encounter with the Christ, everything changed in his life, and he literally gave up all his certificates, all his awards, all his trophies, everything he had done previously. He literally burned it on the ash heap for the sake of what? For realizing that he needed to do a 180 and turn his direction completely around so that he let Jesus lead his life instead of he leading his life. Now, Paul had that experience. And I love how Paul talks about himself in the 30th verse of 2 Corinthians 11. He says, if I have to brag about myself, I'll brag about the humiliations that make me like Jesus. Did you hear that, folks? Listen, humbling yourself, being open-hearted with an open mind is not a weak position. It's a position of strength so that you can grow more like him. And remember, the more your heart is open, the more your mind is open, the more the grace of God has the room to facilitate the presence of the Lord. Listen, there is nothing about this life in your theology or your doctrine that is going to give you an experience unless you allow God, the Holy Spirit, to begin to walk with you and share things with you. That's his job. That's what he's here for. Is the comforter, the helper, the standby, the strengthener, the advocate. Come on, the Holy Ghost is here to do something with us, to bring us from a point of not seeing what is real to a place of experiencing what is real in God. As he went on, he said, the eternal and blessed God, the Father of our Master Jesus, knows I'm not lying. And then he went on to talk about one of the instances. He said, remember when I was Damascus and the governor, King of Aretas, posted guards at the city gates to arrest me. I had to crawl through a window and the wall was let down in a basket, had to run for my life. Paul's kind of laughing at some of the experiences he's had, but what he's realizing is the humility to follow the Lord and be willing to be wrong so that God could make him right. Be willing to change so that God could help him see what is accurate was more important than the momentary moments where he found himself humiliated a little bit under the weather. He realized that that meant nothing compared to the eternal glory. Everyone, if you're hearing me, we're talking about the kind of things that keep people from experiencing these wonderful experiences with the Lord. And so much of this is the pride that's in man that just doesn't want to change. You remember I've said this before. People don't want to change. They really want to be left alone. They just want life to be a little better. There's nothing about that that will cause you to experience God. You have to be willing to be wrong in order to be right. You've got to be willing to lose in order to win. And you have to be willing to die in order to live. Everything about the humility to follow the Lord is the receiving of God's grace. Well, I like this as well. It's very interesting, but it's 1 Corinthians 15, 43 and 44, again in the Message Bible, but it gives you some thoughts of how Paul looked at things. And it says, the corpse that's planted is no beauty, but when it's raised, it's glorious. Put in the ground weak, it comes up powerful. The seed sown is natural. The seed grown is supernatural. Same seed, same body, but what a difference from when it goes down in physical mortality to when it is raised in spiritual immortality. What's he saying? When you live where you don't really care, oh man, that's going to be our next subject, where you don't care about your life, I'm telling you what, when you just let go of you, you'll find him in a greater measure. And then the real you will experience transformation. Wow, this is so really, really good. And Jesus, Paul shows us, gave us such a great example in Philippians 2, 5 and 13. A couple more scriptures, folks, will be done with this particular part. But notice what it says. Think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but he didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privilege of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredible, humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Verse 9, because of that obedience, God lifted him on high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow and worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. Wow, that's pretty tremendous, folks. Just think of what he's talking about there. He's helping us to see that what we're talking about in repent and humility has God's grace to give you strength and ability, insight, direction to experience really what's in your heart and what you long for. I really can't give you too much of a better scripture than Philippians 2 and 12 and 13. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And verse 13 in the Message, or the Amplified, said, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire to both will and to work for his good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. Look at what that scripture tells us. When your heart is open, when your heart is humbled before the Lord, God will literally create in you and empower in you the desire and ability. Talk about humility. There's not too much that's good in our lives where it's not God at the root of all that is good. I always look at it this way. If there's anything bad, that was pretty much me. If there's anything good about my life, that for sure is him. Folks, I just thank God for this. And I have a testimony that I'll share with you very quickly. But back at the beginning of things for me, back in 1994, I went from traveling with Brother Hagin on the road with the Crusade team to actually going to the prayer and healing school. And man, I'm telling you, I didn't have too much. I didn't have many sermons to my name. I didn't have really any experience. And I'm just in there doing the best I could. But things weren't working. People weren't being healed. And one day I got on my face and I said, Lord, it's not you. It's not the people, it's me. If you can correct me, if you can change me, we can change healing school and people can be healed. Folks, I didn't realize what kind of a prayer that was, but that was an amazing prayer because I laid my heart out for God to actually change me, which is change my mind, change my direction, which is what? Repent, which comes from what? It comes from a heart of humility. And God's grace began to empower me with desire, ability, thoughts, insight, and healing school changed just like that within a month, and it began to just explode with healings. And I thank God today the power of God is available for you right here, right now. Put your hand on your body and thank the Lord that by his wonderful grace, there's a touch of God in your life and things are changing for you today. Thanks so much for being with us. Adventures in Grace, you can subscribe and follow us on the YouTube channel or go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us there as well. Now make sure you go to jhmi@jimhockaday.com, which is our email that you find on jimhockaday.com, and send us your grace stories. I've got a few for the next time. It's so exciting to have people send in their stories of what God is doing for you right here and right now. Until next time, God bless you.